The fact is that as we start the eighth cycle of learning the Sichas of Nalach Nubez from Chav Chas Nisim, it might be a good time to make, on some level, a certain cheshbon hanefesh of like whether we're actually really understanding what we're learning. We're actually really being mechaven to what the Rebbe is trying to communicate to us, and whether we're actually doing the things that Rebbe wants from us, and whether we're actually succeeding at it. The fact that it's 8 years later might should. I know that there exists an approach which explains that, that we're living through a Nisayon, so we're kind of like living in suspended time, and therefore like we don't understand what's happening, we don't understand what's going on, we just have to hold on until this time, until God gets over his anxiety attack, and wakes up and comes to his senses. But L'cheira, I mean, Chav Chas Nisim, the time when the Rebbe turned around and demanded from us, and in the strongest of terms, and made it very clear that if we were doing what we have to be doing, Mashiach would have come a long time ago. So, I think the Derech HaYishara, it would seem to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it would seem to me, from the Sichas in general, and from Chav Chas Nisim b'frat, that we should perhaps consider the approach that maybe there is something that's up to us. And to make Chesron HaNefesh, I mean, Fabrengans are nice, and Fabrengans are, maybe we could all learn something from them. We'd all get inspired and get a certain amount of chizuk. But the bottom line of what's going to come out of any Fabrengan is when we go home tonight, and we sit down and say Krishma Lamita, and even if normally we have all kinds of excuses why we don't have time for the Chesron HaNefesh of Krishma Lamita, because we're working so hard with the Rebbe's in Yonim, so we're too exhausted to sit down and make a Chesron HaNefesh. But whatever, I think tonight would be L'cheira, an appropriate time to actually make a significant, a serious Chesron HaNefesh. And if a person feels that for some reason he's too exhausted, he's not up to tonight, then certainly to set aside time tomorrow to make a chesron hanefesh, not stam b'chlolos, but actually be pratus, going through basic, I mean, it's a suggestion, take it all in. And then be pratus, but in the area of learning, in the area of davening, in the area of tikkun hamidos, in the area of tshuva, in the area of afat samayonos, in the area of, especially in the area of preparing, I mean, in all these areas, to see if one is preparing oneself in the world, for Geula, and doing all in one's power to bring the Geula, and to obviously try to come up with new initiatives to do what has to be done. Like I said, it's only a suggestion. Just seems pretty glatt, pretty straightforward to me. So take it or leave it. The emphasis is that when we start looking at the sichas, again, of Nun Aleph, Adam Bays. So one of the problems that many people seem to encounter is not only difficulty understanding the things in the Sikha which are out of the ordinary expressions. In other words, most people just seem to latch on to like the key phrase in every Sikha, you know, maybe the few paragraphs that appear in Surah Sagaullah, and that becomes the issue that everyone tells about. But people seem to be having a hard time, as the Rebbe himself spoke about, just working through the basic ideas. In other words, for instance, the Sikha of whether it's Chav Chas Nissen or Parashat Shmini or Tazria Metzera, say this, the dogma of the Sikha of Tazria Metzera, so most people get hung up on the fact that on the line, on the two or three lines in the Sikha which are exciting. Like the fact that Mashiach is sitting in Golos and he's sick because he wants to take the Yidden out of Golos. That's why he's called Metzera de Rebbe. And Dveyane Amri Yilin Shmei, Dveyshile Amri Shile Shmei, Chizki Ben Menachem Shmei, so and the Harev Anan, Chsidim Nana Basrei, Yosef and Yitzhak, and then there's the paragraph where the Rebbe talks about the most direct way is to learn Yad Mashiach Gula. But the fact is that there's a whole, the Sikha is a whole, there's a whole body to the Sikha, a whole wealth of inyanim in the Sikha that the Rebbe talks about, which kind of gets like lost in the excitement over the, which kind of gets lost in the excitement over those key points that get people very excited. Like, for instance, the whole concept of Ratzav Ashuv and to unify the Ratzav and the Shuv as one. So most people don't really have a good idea what Ratzav is. Or a very good idea what Shuv is. Except that Shuv means coming down and doing what you're supposed to do. So if I do what I'm supposed to do, I guess that's Shuv. But it's only Shuv if it follows the Ratzav. And so to make the next step, the Ratzav v'Shuv ge'echad, the Rebbe says that the Ratzav and the Shuv should be one, and not two separate processes, but it's all part of one thing. So a lot of people just, that's it, that, those kind of things get glossed over. Sometimes, then you have the Nekudah where the Rebbe says a beer. There's actually a beer in the Sikha of Tazria Metzera of the Rebbe asked the question, if everything was already done, then why is Mashiach not here? And the Rebbe answers the question. In many places, the Rebbe just asks the question and doesn't answer. In fact, the Rebbe says it's a question which doesn't really have an answer. But at this point, the Marshal, the Sikha of Tazria Metzera, the Rebbe answered the question. The Rebbe says that by Mashiach there's two bechenas. The Rebbe talks about the union of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And the Rebbe explains that by Mashiach, Rabbi Eimer, the Rebbe says that by Mashiach there's two union, the union of Rav, the union of Melech. Rav is Ashpah b'Pnimius, like a teacher to a student, that he has to give over the material to a student in the way that the student understands it and grasps it in his own mind. And but the Inu Melech is the opposite, is the Hashpah of the Derech Makif. In other words, the king just gives an order and you have to follow whether you understand it or not. So the Rebbe explains, so what's now? The Rebbe explains, what's the Aveda now if everything's already been done? That all the Inyanim of Mashiach, the Rebbe Chinas Melech, now have to come down in a Pnimius. That's the Aveda now, to internalize all the inyanim that Mashiach is Mashpia in the Efen of Melech in a way that's higher than Seichel, You have to bring that down into Sech. The Rebbe talks in the Sech of Tazrim and Tzayel, the Rebbe talks about the idea the Rebbe explains the whole idea of Metzer al Pichsidus, and says that the entire Jewish people is holding by a level that everything is already taken care of, that everything is already refined, except the most external outer layer, just like the muscle of skin, relative to the rest of the body. It's something completely external, and it's only on the outermost edge of his levushim, so to speak. But the Rebbe says, similarly, the entire Jewish people, I mean, this is what leads up to the question of why, what are we still doing it? Entire Jewish people have already reached such a state of refinement that any flaws that are to be found are totally, completely external and superficial to the Gabri, their whole Metzius. And the Rebbe says that, in Chassidus it's explained that the Inyan of Tzaras comes from because in its source, in Kedusha, it's very high revelation. They are too high to be internalized, and therefore when they come down into this world, they can manifest into something negative, because they're not grasped and internalized. And this is the lead-in to the concept of, and this is the concept of Ratzu and Shuv, that Ratzu is going out of oneself to connect to that which is higher than one's, one realizes that there's something higher. Go out of oneself and run upward to connect to that which is higher than one's Sechel, and Shuv is to bring it down into Sechel. So now that Rebbe is saying the only any external manifestations that exist in the Jewish people are completely superficial, and it's only because we're talking about such high revelations that have not been properly internalized, and therefore what's the job now? The job now is to internalize those high revelations. That's what's needed. That's what the job of the period that we're living in now.
And how do we internalize it?
So it's very nice. So even if a person does bother to go through the whole sikha, and even then get a grasp of basic concepts, but he still feels like he's out in left field. I mean, like, you know, what are you supposed to do? What does it mean internalize the concept? And the truth is, we could go through any number of sikhas and show the same pattern that people get all caught up in the one phrase or the one paragraph that's like the exciting paragraph in the Sikha, the one that got excerpted in the Sikha Sagu'ula. And there's like a whole wealth of stuff in the sikhas that people are just not really dealing with. Because there is somewhat of a perception that's not really shaykh. I'm not chashed anybody that they're not dealing with the things that the Rebbe is telling us because they're not interested. Or, God forbid, they don't believe it. I think the problem is they just don't relate to it. They just don't really see it as relevant or shaykh to their personal life. So what's shaykh, what's relevant? Things to get exciting about. Oh, the Rebbe himself said it's Moshe. Here, ooh, there's a Rebbe's here, ooh, there's a Rebbe's there. That's like, that's the things that we get excited about. We're all guilty. But this mamash, there's a Torah shleima. There's an entire Torah contained in this sukkah, in which the Rebbe is saying that what's needed here, the Rebbe is defining a tremendous spiritual revolution. The Rebbe is saying that any negative, the Rebbe is setting the tone for all the sikhs that follow, that any, the sikh of Parsha Shmini, after Chav Ches Nisan, the Rebbe said that it doesn't make sense that Moshiach is not here, there's no reason, and if the people really wanted Moshiach to come, Moshiach would have come a long time ago. The Rebbe said, I give it over to you. So the first thing of Parashat Shemini was that every Jew has the capacity. Every Jew has the capacity to bring down infinite godliness into a finite one. But the next, the Tazrim said it, the Rebbe set the tone for this concept, which repeats itself in many different forms, in many different ways, in many different sikhah, the same basic nekuda over and over and over again, which is that the Jewish people have already reached a state of refinement. Any negative that exists in the world are completely superficial and exist only because we have not properly internalized the great revelation. Really, if we were to internalize the great revelations that exist now, then even those negative manifestations would disappear. If we would actually recognize and experience the reality of Gula, internalize the revelations of Gula, the Rebbe says what we're seeing, the negative manifestations we see in the world, is because the revelations of Gula are too high for the world. We're talking about such high revelations, just like Tzaras is such a high revelation that it causes that the person, because he's not completely refined, there is an element of refinement that's lacking, therefore it expresses itself as something negative. So the Rebbe is setting the whole tone for all the later sikhas, that on the one hand we see tremendous positive developments, and the existence of any negative manifestations is only because, is not because Geula has not yet been revealed in the world. Ever says clearly many times that the Geula is already here. To the point that a month later, on Chav Ches Sivan, the Rebbe went so far as to say that the Eivishter wanted to bring the Geula a long time ago. And the Eivishter has a problem. He wants to bring the Geula. He has a problem. What's his problem? His problem is that he created a system in which he's dependent kaviyachal on the Jewish people. He set it up that it's totally b'maseinu v'avei d'seinu. He made this thing that he wants to reveal in the world, he made it dependent on us. So now he's stuck. So what does he need? The Rebbe says, what does the Eivishter need from us? The Rebbe says, the Eivishter needs from us that a Jew should agree and should agree and proclaim that not only that Mashiach is about to come, but that the Geula is already here. So that's what the Rebbe says, that's what's missing. What's missing is not the belief that Mashiach is about to come. So if somebody comes along and tells you what we need now is the belief that Mashiach is about to come, the Rebbe says, no, that's not what's missing. The belief that Mashiach is about to come is not missing, that's not a problem. We did that already. And this is what's missing here is the realization that the Geula is already here. That's what Rebbe says, what's missing? Rebbe says, it's not missing the belief that Mashiach is coming soon. That's not what's missing. Not a problem. What's missing is the realization that Geula is already here. That we already have, and the Rebbe goes through, we already have all the revelations of, in the sittings between Tazrim and Seder, and Chav Ches Sivan, the Rebbe goes into Geula, Aleph. Geula is Milashin Geula with an Aleph. The Rebbe explains all the different levels of our job is to reveal the Aleph of the Eivishter in the Geula. In other words, to internalize these great revelations of godliness into the world. And the Rebbe goes different levels, the Rebbe explains the meaning of Aleph on different levels. Till Aleph, Alufa Shalelam, Pchinas Keser, Shalomailam, and Shtalshlus, the highest revelations of godliness all have to be brought down and internalized in the world. And then it says, not they have to be brought down. There has to be the realization that they're already here. That's what the Rebbe says. That's what's missing.
Final Geula is upon us. Is that what the Rebbe is saying?
I'm sorry?
You're saying that the Rebbe, you just said that the Rebbe wants us to know that the Geula is not about to come, but it's the realization that it's already here.
Right.
And I'm asking.
But one second. But so let me issue a caveat. It's very, very cute. It's very, very exceedingly sweet and exceedingly cute to have guys walking around saying the Geula is already here, the pastas, the Geula is already here. When you ask them what that means, you say, I have no idea. It's a beautiful thing to behold. But that's not what the Rebbe is talking about. The Rebbe is talking about knowing, internalizing, knowing what it means that the Geula is already here, experiencing that the Geula is already here. So, not to put down cuteness and sweetness. I'm all for cuteness and I'm all for sweetness. But it's just not what the Rebbe is talking about. The Rebbe is not talking about running around to show how much you chapped the one statement, which out of the context of the entire sikha seems quite bizarre, and to prove and display your faith in this bizarre statement, which nobody can make any sense out of, but to display your unflagging and undying faith. That doesn't seem to be the avodah. The avodah seems to be the realization, the awareness of every level of godliness in the physical realm. That's the avodah.
Does that necessarily mean that at a Meister Pole level, does that mean that when we do something, rather than seeing that it's any type of like circumstance or happenstance, we actually see the godliness in the most mundane things, I'm predisposing this, obviously, because I haven't experienced the Geula, at least on a level to know,
right,
on a conscious level, yes, I'm here, whereas I was at point A before, now I'm at point B. But on a practical level, does that mean seeing, like, you know, the fact that the train has managed to make it to work, that it's not, this may seem like everything that happened for the last week, it seems like the same thing over and over again, but it's no less a miracle in godliness that Hashem made it to
that,
be now, at
that level. That is the perception of Ashkacha process, which is something which is very important to have, and it's very important for all Jews to have at all times. And something that Hasidus encouraged developing the last few hundred years. So that is talking about a conscious awareness of all the different levels of godliness as they are revealed and manifested in this world. And the Rebbe goes through. Malchus, Keach HaPayel B'Nifal, the godly energy which gives life to all things in existence. And the Rebbe takes to the next level. The Rebbe talks about perceiving the divine wisdom in all things. The Rebbe takes it to the next level. Perceiving God's infinity in all things. So seeing Ashkacha Pratis is not it. It's much more specific. The Rebbe is getting much more specific. The Rebbe is saying, actually perceiving the revelations of the different levels of godliness. And there's one sikha that breaks down to three levels, one sikha that breaks down to four levels. But the Rebbe is talking about real conscious awareness. In other words, you're living with Alaf Chachachum, Alaf Chabina, Alaf Miloshim Pella. In other words, the idea that you're actually perceiving all these very specific revelations of godliness in the world. So it's a very real specific event. It's not just a general being more conscious of God in your life.
But how do we know to go in that direction? How do we know if we're even at that level?
That's
the only
person.
The Rebbe
was telling us that we have to go in that direction. The Rebbe tells us we have to be on that level. The question is, what tools do we have to get there?
Yeah.
Very good question. That's what we're going to try to address.
You say that the Rebbe is giving us specific things, but it would seem to my small mind that it seems to be so much the opposite. In other words, throughout the earlier periods of the Rebbe's Nesiyas, they had specific mifsayim to do, specific haraz, exactly how to do this and that. I mean, yes, you know, the Rebbe sent out shluchim and told them, you know, to be successful, and they created their own ways of doing that. But here, it seems like the Rebbe is moving into a very vague period, that he's giving us, yes, specific high inyanim to internalize, but very little of a map as to how to get there. You know, a lot of Hayyanim that was speaking about. You said before that people don't think it's shaykh to them. I mean, from people that I've spoken to, they don't know where to begin. You know, they might even understand the Indian to some degree, but they don't feel like, you know, they're just giving them any specificity regarding how to get there.
We don't feel like maybe individually we're being spoken to. It's a nice general thing that for the Jewish people, but we need to know that it's for us. So I'll speak for myself. For us individual, how does it refer to me?
This is true.
I feel on a personal level. I feel on a personal level, but it just, I agree with what he said as far as it seems a little bit more vague in the sense of, okay, now what do we do? What do we do? Because I think everyone, the whole of creation is now like thirsting for the gula in the Gashmis and the Goyim. I personally see it every time the Goyim is Soyim, and even just when I don't even intend to do Mesoyim, it just happens that it's Mesoyim. And the thing is that we're all thirsting for it, we all want it. The question is, like, you know, for instance, they say, the rabbi told us, open your eyes to the gula. I've tried opening my eyes, like, so far, I nearly peeled it back over the back of my head, and it doesn't seem to be helping. So, and I've heard about a lot of, like, different answers on, you know, exactly what does it mean to open one's eyes, but, you know,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And how do we have one more question before you adjourn? We want to have it in our minds. But, you know, we're supposed to have it in our minds. Not supposed to. We should. Rabbi's saying is that we should. We could have it in our minds at all times. Some of it's a part to be a part of us.
It's
to me, personally, it's kind of easy to forget. Right? So how do you remember it?
And one thing that the Rabbi is constantly saying in all these sikhas that even that you, so Brandon said it, that right now the Jewish people are not so shocked to avoid. I mean, they're not shocked to avoid, but they're more in the atzmos, not geluyim. There's not. You don't see. There's a big difference that you always talk about between a Jew that was a couple of generations ago and a Jew now.
Yeah.
There's a different.
What the Rebbe says that when the essence is revealed, then you automatically have all the geluyim.
It seems like so many people that are so.
It's not
that there's no fact.
Atzim to the exclusion of geluyim is not yet geula.
But
that's Golos. So this explains the mile of Golos over the time of the Bezalel Mikdash. They have Atzim without Giloyim. Geula means the Atzim with all the Giloyim.
So
that was telling you that we could have Geula and you have to internalize Geula. That means to internalize the Atzim with all the Giloyim. Not instead of.
But since we don't have since people are living more Golostic, you see a lot of Chassidim now that are not very Shaykh to Aveda. You see people in 70s who don't look like people that are. I myself, I don't feel very Shaykh to Aveda. So then you tell them I'm going to have the greater Aveda than anybody else. And I don't see what the old. I asked you one time, I was really in 2 years ago, you said, just do it! You just do it! And I tried that, just doing it, but I just don't go on. I mean,
can you repeat some of the things you did last year?
We had to think about it.
So the question is, how does one go about internalizing infinite revelations of godliness or specific revelations of godliness into their consciousness? And actually realizing and seeing how all these revelations of godliness are open and revealed. And therefore, Geula is already present. Certain manifestations of Geula have yet to take place, but the godly revelation of Geula has already taken place. And the fact that instead of the full manifestations of Geula, we have many negative manifestations is not because the godly revelation is not here, but because it's not being properly received. So, you have to understand, how does one come to such a realization? I don't know, I assume most of you are familiar with a Hasidic movement which goes by the acronym Chabad. This particular movement, which goes by the particular acronym Chabad, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the fact that Chabad stands for Chachma, Bina, and Das. Now, it's not just something which you're supposed to write on the receipt book of your Chabad house or on the door, front door of your house, but these three faculties, Chachma, Bina, and Das, are actually meant to be used. They're actually meant to be employed in one's service of God. So the question is, how does one go about employing one's Chachma, one's Bina, and one's Das in the service of God? How to go about employing one's Chachma, one's Bina, and one's Das in the service of God is discussed extensively in many hundreds of works written by a handful of great leaders that were sent down to this world to enlighten us on how to go about serving God with one's Chachma, Bina, and Das. So the first answer to the question is, how does one go about internalizing all these high, lofty revelations? Well, the first place to start would be to try to employ one's Chachma, one's Bina, and one's Das. Which, sadly to say, so often, maybe it's for very good reasons, people are busy, people are running around, people have many obligations. People may have many good reasons why they don't really put those particular faculties to any significant good use. But the fact is, they are key to the whole process of redemption, which is why the Rebbeim had tremendous Mesidus Nefesh to bring these teachings to us. And they are particularly key in the final stage, since we're talking about internalization, and the Rebbe says, and the well-known Sikh of Chai Sarat Tavshin Nubeis, that the way one prepares oneself and the rest of the world for Geula is by employing the faculties of, surprise, surprise, Chachma, Bina, and Das, by learning in Yanim Mashiach Geula in a way of
Chachma,
Bina, and Das, and from there it should influence the Midas, which include Chassid, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hed, Yisayit, and on one level Malchus, and from there to Machshav, Diva, Meisah, which are generally associated with the Sphere of Malchus. But that is how one prepares oneself and the entire world for the Gila. So, there are many Hayrois that the Rebbe gave over the years in which the emphasis was not necessarily on employing one's Chachma, Bina, and Das. The emphasis was more on carrying out those things which the teachings of Chabad show us actualize God in the physical world in a physical, tangible way. But nevertheless, the Rebbe says when it comes to Mashiach, it's going to have to be Chachma, Bina, and Das. You have to pull the old Chachma, Bina, and Das out of the mothballs, blow off the cobwebs, and put them to work. And guess what? The Rebbe says, obviously, it's not just the Rebbe telling us to put them to work, but the Rebbe's telling us that if we put them to work the right way, we will actually successfully accomplish what we have to accomplish. So part of the problem that people have is their Chachma, Bina, and Das, at least in Kedusha, in the pursuit of godliness, those faculties have become, for many people, to all of us on one level or another, somewhat rusty from disuse. And part of the reason why people don't feel shayach is because they don't even get up to the plate. Forget about taking a swing. They don't even bother, like, you know, it's Chachma, Bina, and Das, forget about it. If it's Amuna, if it's excitement, if it's something I could do, something I could say, if it's a Dibur or a Meister, so that's it. So then people think, the Dibur of Yechiyah Melech, okay, Yechiyah Melech, Yechiyah Melech. Hello, good morning, Yechiyah Melech. Yechiyah Melech before my Dani. It's very important. It ever says it. That Dibur has a tremendous power. And if it comes to Maisa, to publish things and to print things and to hand things out and to put up signs and to put more bumper stickers on your car than the other guy has, if it comes to Maisa, and people aren't doing this because they're bad, people are doing this because they really want to do. And they have no outlet to do it, so they can only do a few things that are available to do. People really want to do it for the Rebbe. People really care about the Rebbe. They really believe in the Rebbe. So they want to say the things that the Rebbe says, if you say them, it's good for Mashiach. They want to do the things that the Rebbe says, if you do them, it's good for Mashiach. But when it comes to the Chacham Pina Das business, that's already, hey, I'm busy, I'm running, I'm coming, I'm going, I have enough time next week, next year, next month. I don't know, that's what people on a very high level, that's it, it can't be me. We already start wiggling out of really applying our minds and understanding each one of those faculties, how they operate, what they do, how to use them, and to use them. I'm learning the Yanni Mashiach rule in the way of Chacham Bina Das. And not only does it ever say that you have to learn in the way of Chacham Bina Das, it ever takes it a step further. The Rebbe says, till now the way we learned was primarily in a way of chitzaynis ha-meichin. Till now, meichin ha-shayach l'midas. Until now, almost all the teachings of Chabad focused on using the mind in so much as it influences one's emotions, which is the more external level of the mind. The Chacham Bina Das have a Pnimius and a Chitzenius. The Chitzenius of Chachma Bina and Das is how the mind affects and impacts the emotions. So the emphasis has been primarily in Mayach Shalit Al Halei. The emphasis has been primarily on using the mind to tame and control the heart. The emphasis, that's not enough. Now, the Liman HaTer has to be in a way of Pnimius HaMeichen. Chitzenius HaMeichen is no longer enough. It's not enough to do Chachma Bina and Das the old way. No. Not only do we have to use our Chachma Bina and Das, but we have to use them in a whole new way. We have to open up, we have to connect to the Pnimius HaMeichen. We have to put the Pnimius of our Chachma Bina and Das to work. And when you put the Pnimius of the Chachma Bina and Das to work, then you don't have to work on your emotions. Your emotions automatically fall into place.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
This is a hashpah,
right? I'm sorry?
Because it would naturally flow. It
right. The response is automatic. So there's so much basic information that we're not really being that serious about even finding out what it is. What is it? What is Chitzenius HaMeichin and what is Pnimius HaMeichin? In a term that I could understand.
What's HaMeichin?
Brain.
Brains, minds.
Are you saying like to instead of changing the mind's effects, the emotion, to actually change the mind in such a way that we change our whole way of thinking itself?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's a good mimer that starts talking about Chacham Bina Das?
Where do you want to stop? I don't know. I don't know that Chassidus isn't set up that way. You have to look around. You have to learn.
You
have to know what you want to learn.
So it's not just learning. Sometimes you're learning Sikh Lam and Beit. You're learning the basic of all the
Rebbe. That's right. But you're learning it, but you're looking for something very specific. There's two ways to learn the mind of the Rebbe Rasham. There's a way I can learn the mind of the Rebbe Rasham because I'm interested in learning the mind of the Rebbe Rasham. It's interesting. So that's good. It's good preparation for davening. It has a positive influence on you. You'll be from it the rest of the day. You'll learn about it. It's great. And it's very important. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about learning Chassidus in order to know how to see it in the world. In order to know how to take the... Anything you learn, I need to find out how am I supposed to see the godliness? How am I supposed to live in the reality of what I'm learning? You can learn anything. You can learn for 50 years. You can learn everything and know everything. But you have a very specific task in mind. The Rebbe has a very specific task. You have to figure out a way to see every revelation of godliness in the physical world, including infinite godliness, including the essence of God himself. It's all there. The problem is that you haven't internalized it. So any negative manifestation of growth is purely because you haven't bothered to get it straight.
You yourself said that we our Chachamim Das is in the closet with the spiders, yeah. And I think about
it. Yeah, if you don't use it, then okay.
First of all, it took me a great deal of time to learn a great deal of things to understand this better. How do you make the... Okay, fine, it's going to take time. It takes time. It's a start of learning. You have to start learning slowly, an hour. Chassidus a day. It's a series. People have time. I heard it much fear. I told one person, he said, Avodah takes time. McLeod just do on Shabbos during the week. Just go, and Avodah's not... You don't have time for Avodah.
See, your whole terminology is, you have to learn hours a day. It takes so much. It takes so long. Your whole way of relating to Chassidus and relating to anything that has to do with using your mind is relating to that something that's removed from you. That's not what the Rebbe is telling us. The Rebbe is saying that if you use your mind, you'll see how everything is there.
So
the Rebbe is saying. What?
So as all connect, you'll see the inyanim behind
right.
The secret.
Right. If you learn it the right way.
You see
the Rebbe is saying you have to learn about. You have to learn everything. You have to learn any, especially inyanim, particularly inyanim shir gul. The Rebbe said clearly. The Rebbe said in Mika it's no base. The Rebbe said that if till now the ratio of Chassidus to Nigla was because you put oil in a recipe, it could only a small amount of the recipe could be oil. You put it too much oil, it's not healthy to drink straight oil. So the ratio was smaller. The Rebbe says, not a ratio of changes. Now you have to manage pour it out. The Rebbe says, forget your cholesterol. You gotta pour on the oil.
Yeshivas are doing this.
You gotta pour it on.
Now I understand why they did that.
The Talmud Tumim is founded on.
It totally makes sense.
No, Talmud Tumim is founded on 2/3, 1/3. The Rebbe is saying, pour it on.
Hadar Torah is founded on hydrogenated oil. It's a very high level.
Hold on.
Hadar Torah is founded on hydrogenated oil. It's a very high level.
Hydrogenated
oil.
Only by Gula in that kitchen.
Hydrogenated oil is... It's not where it's at right now.
I'm a sick, you understand? I'm a sick, but... How do you see the pulus of Chachma being a das? How do you be a mechalek between the three and Pnimus and Chatzenius?
And what about Nigla that has specifically to do with the Yom of Mashiach?
Sure, the Rebbe said those things too. You have to learn all those things. But again, we're learning them all for a specific task. Before the Rebbe introduced the direct way of doing it, the Rebbe said, what you don't have to do. Everyone says the direct way to bring the Gula, but they didn't read the paragraph before. The Rebbe says, what needs to be done in order to bring the Gula? What needs to be done in order to bring the Gula is to internalize these infinite revelations of godliness which make the world look all screwed up because it's not being internalized. So the world looks horrible because not because Gula is not here, but because it hasn't been internalized. So the Rebbe says, what's the direct way? It's learning the Yanim Shekha Gula. The Rebbe said what you're supposed to be trying to accomplish, not just learning, L'shem Yichud Kutche Bricha L'shemte L'kayim Mitzvahs Limer N'yad Mashiach Gula. Okay, Mashiach Gula for the day, now I can go about my business. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is a real transition, a transformation. The Rebbe talks in Parshas Bullock about changing your whole essence. You're Mashiach Gula. The Rebbe's not talking about... It's not picnic, it's not fun and games, it's a serious business. It talks about learning Torah on a whole new, learning these Inyanim and learning it on a whole new level.
Let me just ask, if let's say you're learning a Maimer and take out time, and now you're saying, how can I see this as the reality in the world, okay? And you come to see it in the world. Is that analogous with learning with Hachabiru Adas?
It's part of it. Let's. It's not. I mean, because you're not really clearly defining what the process is.
Because someone can learn something and just keep it as a nikkud in the mind. They can keep just general concept and not apply it. Not only not even a midos.
No, but the Rebbe's not talking about applying concepts.
But just to know them, it's...
Applying concepts is applying a concept. If you have a concept in your mind that you could or could not apply, that means you're operating with Chitzonius HaMeichen. Because if you're operating with Pnimius HaMeichen, it's not you can or cannot apply. It's automatic.
Wait, so do you just learning these inyanim itself, like just knowing all the inyanim of the Shiach, that itself, that itself is gonna do it just by learning them?
Is just learning the inyanim itself gonna do it automatically? No. Because it doesn't, you have to learn on a whole new level. You have to learn in a way of Pnimius HaMeichen. If it was just automatic, that just by reading the words of Maimon HaSichah and Yonim HaSichah Gvul, you'd be, you know, that in itself would affect the entire transformation.
But isn't even the paradigm shift that the outcome is sort of pula?
I'm sorry?
The point, you're learning it so you can internalize it, so you can actually physically experience it in the world, as that being the reality that the Gvul is out here.
So you want to know if it's the Kavana? You want to know if it's the right Kavana?
No, I'm saying this thing.